It's wonderful to be together to worship. I'm Pastor Mark Patty. If I haven't had the privilege of meeting you, I'm wondering what you think of me being a foot taller or whatever it is today. It'll be kind of an interesting experiment for all of us. I was noticing over the weeks, and I've heard from a couple of people how, you know, you're kind of in the back looking to try to see me, and I'm looking to see you, and maybe this will help. We'll just give it a try. You have to keep in mind, though, that the NBA may notice me now. And I feel called here, but, you know, it could happen. So we'll see what God has in store for us. Let's continue and pray. God, thank you for the gift it is for us to be together, gathered by your Holy Spirit. Some of us come in here this morning in faith, and some of us coming, Lord, in questions, and some of us coming in grief, some of us coming half asleep. God, meet us where we are and awaken us to your holy presence. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, not just individually, but God, as a body of people. Gift us according to your will and lead us to serve together in such a way that your goodness and your glory is made known to this world. Speak to us even now as we look to your word. Grant us ears to hear what you want to say, that we might truly live this life you've blessed us to live. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So today's World Communion Sunday. I don't know if all of you are aware of World Communion Sunday. Maybe you've never heard of that before, but for some reason in my childhood, growing up, this is a Sunday that really stood out to me every year. You know, there's Christmas that really stood out to me. Maybe for you too. You know, Easter. World Communion was one of those Sundays for me. I just loved the idea of people all around the world gathering around the table of our Lord. Whatever the tone of our skin might be, whatever the languages that we might have grown up speaking, whatever the kind of music we might like and think is the greatest on earth, we come to the table and we're one. How cool is that? All of us dependent on the grace of God. And all of us saying, thank you, God, that it's not because of I'm so great, because you're so great that I get to celebrate today and forever together with your people. I love World Communion Sunday. And this is what we've been talking about in many ways over the past few weeks. If you've been here, we've been looking at the book of Ephesians, and we've been talking about how this is the mystery, Paul tells us, that's been hidden for ages but is now revealed through Jesus Christ and through his church, that God has taken disparate people, divided people, and made them one. Listen to what Paul said. We've touched on this over the past couple weeks. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups, talking about Gentiles and Jews. He has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us. Hostility. Does that ring any bells for you these days? Jesus Christ comes to break down the hostility between us. God knows we need that today, don't we? That's why Jesus came, to break down the wall of hostility between us. So Jesus came and proclaim peace to you who are far off and peace to you, to those who are near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. And so, as we've talked about in chapter 4, Paul goes on, so I beg you to live this life. Live out this calling God's given you as one people with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another, putting up with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We've got our work cut out for us, don't we? Because the whole movement of our world, I mean, and this has been the case since we were all living in little tribes all over the world, the movement of the world is often to divide us up, and my tribe's better than your tribe. That's still what we're doing today. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, you know, first one, he says, I appeal to you based on the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. But the second verse, he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do something different. Do this thing that God is calling you and gifting you to do. Live this unity in Christ's spirit. You live it out. Show the world a different way. Isn't that why Jesus came? Isn't that why we're called together? Not to just show the world the world's way, a little better than the world can do it, but to show the world God's way, the way of peace, the way of unity, the way of, have you heard this word before? Love? And so Paul goes on in Ephesians to talk about how God's given us varied gifts that we can use as a part of that work together as one body. And over this next month, we're going to be talking about this. I'm really excited about this coming month. We're talking about, what's your superpower? How is it that God's gifted you as a part of his body? I mean, my thumb, I'll be honest, doesn't think it's very important, but I know better. It's because I've got this thumb, I can open up the refrigerator. My dog can't do that, but which I'm really glad for. But I can. I can do a lot of things because God gave me this thumb. So I take care of it. And if it ever wants to go off on its own, it's going to die. But together as a part of the whole body, it can do amazing things. You're like that. You're a thumb, or maybe a finger, or maybe it's a foot. I don't know. But over this next month, we're going to be praying together and talking together about how God has made you to be a special part of his body, that without which we can't be the full body, the healthy body God's calling us to be. We can't show the rest of the world how good God is without you. So please come over these coming weeks and pray about what the gifting is God's given you, and pray that God will help all of us to find that, so that together we can bring glory to God and good to our world. There's a lot more fun in that than just running around our world doing our own thing as a thumb or whatever you might be. So today I want to launch into that, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, another place where the Apostle Paul starts talking about our spiritual gifts. And I want to give you a little setup before I read it. Corinth, the Corinthians church, is this amazingly gifted church. They've been blessed with spiritual gifts. They've got lots of resources. They can do so many things well, but they're also a very divided church. They're profoundly divided, conflicted, polarized. They are looking down on each other. Some of them think, well, because they can speak in strange tongues, that they're more important than people who can't do that. Some who think they can prophesy, they think they're more important than people who can't do that. They think that if they've got certain gifts, they're more spiritually alive, more spiritually mature. But you know, there are a lot of really gifted people in our world in all kinds of different ways. And they may not be all that mature. Have you noticed that? That sometimes people who are incredible at doing certain things, they're incredible at doing certain things, but they're not somebody you want to model your life after. They don't have the kind of character maturity that you want, that we want. So here's the Corinthian church, and actually that hostility, that the church is supposed to represent something very different, that hostility is alive and well in the Corinthian church. And it does make me think, maybe we could relate to this a bit, how today in our nation, in our society, and even in Christ Church, for all of our giftedness, I mean, we are so incredibly gifted. There's far too much hostility, far too much contempt going on. And by the way, I've said this before, but in a relationship, in a marriage, if a partner is looking on another with contempt, if we're looking down on each other, the marriage probably isn't going to last. I mean, statistically, you know, there are couples who argue, they wrestle with things, but researchers have found that if they're looking on each other with contempt, they're looking down on their partner, chances are it might take a year, it might take five, it might take 20 years, but chances are that marriage won't last. So keep it in mind in your relationships, and keep that in mind as you think about what we're doing on Facebook or in our relationships with one another. When we treat each other with contempt, when we look at each other, practice doing something different. Because that way will lead to destruction. It may not be immediate, but that's the path to destruction. Don't take that path. So here's the Corinthian church. And Paul says, here's a different way that we're called to. Let's hear about that way. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. By the way, they probably have written to Paul saying, we're not sure. We're really incredibly spiritually gifted. Maybe they've been bragging about it. They know a lot about spiritual gifts. Or maybe they've noticed that despite being very spiritually gifted, they're struggling a little bit in their relationships. But they've evidently asked Paul about spiritual gifts. And so he takes on this, and he's done this a few times through the book, where he said, now concerning that issue that you brought up, so now here he says, now concerning spiritual gifts or spiritual things, it can be interpreted, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord apart from, except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So Paul starts out talking about concerning spiritual gifts. I want you to know a few things. The key thing to tell whether the Spirit of God is alive in you is not whether you have the ability to speak in tongues or to preach or whatever it might be, but whether you can say Jesus is Lord. On one level, it seems like he's setting the bar pretty low. Like, really? I thought, you know, I needed to be able to do great things for God. That really shows that the Spirit of God is alive in me. But Paul says, no, you can't even say Jesus is Lord. And he's not talking about saying it flippantly or, you know, just casually. Like, yeah, Jesus is Lord. Yeah, why not? He's talking about Jesus is Lord in a way that you mean from the heart, from the head, with your body. Like, Jesus is Lord. Like Peter, you know, and Jesus says, follow me. And Peter says, okay, and follows him. Like Matthew, the tax collector, he's making good money off the Roman Empire. He's a part of what's going on there. And Jesus says, follow me. And Peter, Or Matthew says, okay, I'll leave it all behind and I'll follow you. Jesus is my... Simon the Zealot. I love this contrast. You've got Simon the Zealot who, take a look at our world today. Matthew, he's the supporter of the Roman government. And here's Simon the Zealot. He wants to overthrow the Roman government. And he wants independence for Israel. Jesus says to him, follow me. And he says, I'll follow you. Jesus is Lord. They're all saying Jesus is Lord. This is the crucial thing for each one of us, the crucial decision, the crucial choice for us to make. And the only way we can truly make that a full-hearted choice is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so if you this morning are able to say, okay, I want to follow Jesus as my Lord, you can trust that the Holy Spirit is at work in you, helping you to say that, make that commitment, and live it out. This is the crucial decision in our lives. And it's also the crucial point at which we can say the Holy Spirit's really active, where you can see that the Holy Spirit's active if God is giving you a heart to follow Jesus as Lord, to name him as Lord. Because God knows, and we know, that there are lots of enticing idols out there in our world. And even those of us who have named Jesus as Lord along the way, we're still enticed by the idols of our world. And that day in Corinth, it was Aphrodite, the goddess of fertility and love. You know, that's, okay. Or Apollo, the sun god. Or maybe we can relate to this a little better, the god of money. If I can just bank away enough, if I can just get enough security financially, then I don't have to worry about tomorrow or next week or next year. That's an enticing god, isn't it? But money, the Bible teaches us and experience tells us, is a fickle friend, a fickle god. Who you put your hope in. What you put your hope and your faith in, who you pledge allegiance to ultimately above all other gods, this is the crucial question. And I want to invite you, challenge you this morning, in the midst of all the other idols that we can put our hope and our count on for our help, to make Jesus your Lord. Name him this morning and each morning, Jesus is my Lord. There's another part of this that's such good news, is that when you name Jesus as Lord, you can know, as Paul tells the Corinthians, that you've got everything you need. Have you ever heard of Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Paul says this repeatedly through his letter to the Corinthians. Listen to how he starts out the book. This is verse 4. I give thanks, O my God, always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You are not lacking. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This is the message that Jesus is your Lord. You are not lacking. Whatever the situation is you're facing in your life right now, whatever the situation our church is facing or our world is facing, we are not lacking as God's people. Every spiritual gift, God says this through Paul in various places in the New Testament, we've been given every spiritual blessing. We've got everything we need to venture forward with confidence in Jesus our Lord, to do his will in this world. Name Jesus as Lord. And trust him. Step forward with confidence in him. The second thing that we see in here that I want us to carry with us as we go through and to kind of wrestle with as we go through this coming month is that to each has been given a manifestation of the Spirit. To each has been given a manifestation of the Spirit. Maybe you don't feel like that's so much the case for you. You know, like maybe you're gifted for other things and other places, but God's given you a gift that he wants you to use as a part of his body here at Salem Covenant Church, here in the United States of America, or wherever it is that God may be calling you. You've been gifted, and you are being gifted. It doesn't matter whether you feel like it or not. It doesn't. Well, it does matter whether you believe it. You got to decide. Are you going to believe Jesus is your Lord and that his scriptures are true? Because if they are, then I want you to know this. Jesus is gifting you. His spirit is gifting you to do a part in his body. It may not seem like much, but it's important to the body. So I want to invite you this morning to begin praying. What is the spiritual gift that God is giving you for this season in your life, this season in our life as a church, this season in the body of Christ's life in our world? How is God gifting you? Start praying that. Pray it each day this month, would you? And come back in the coming Sundays as we together seek to discern what are these gifts and discern what is the gift that God's giving you to contribute, to be a part of the body here. Come back and let us help one another discern these gifts and even experiment with them, try them out, develop them. How do we develop these gifts? And then how do we use them? This is a crucial thing. I had somebody come up to me after church, one of the worship services earlier, and say, I love being a part of this church. I'm like, I do too. It's just such a great church. And I long for us to become greater, not in some glorious to us way, but for us to see increasingly the body of Christ together being activated by the Holy Spirit to do God's work together. There's joy in using your gifts and abilities and for yourself. But there is nothing like using your gifts and abilities for the purposes of God together with others. The joy that comes as we serve God together. I want us to experience that more and more to the glory of God and to the blessing of this world we live in. And of course, that's the third point for this sermon, for this passage that we're looking at. Paul says each has been given a manifestation of the Spirit, you know, a way of making the Spirit evident in our world for the common good. The common good. It's not just for us individually. A lot of the songs we sing, and I always think about that when we sing them, you know, I want the Holy Spirit, come to me, that kind of thing. I would invite you whenever we say that, think also about we. It's never just me. You know, it's God calling us into his body. And so the common good, how do we use these gifts to serve one another, to build one another up in love, to accomplish together far more than we could ever on our own? I do appreciate, Norm often does that. He'll switch the word as we go along from just me to us and, you know, sending it out to the world. It's the common good that we are called to serve here together. It brings me back to this World Communion Sunday, that we're not an island here at Salem Covenant Church, that we're not an island, the American church, that in fact we're actually kind of small potatoes in the bigger work of God around the world, but we're an important part of the body. And I just love how as we come to this table, we're reminded that our life comes from Jesus Christ and goes out together to the whole body and through the body to the world. And so I want you this morning as we celebrate to come and receive the grace of God, to allow God, pray for God to build you up to do your part in the body, and pray for God's Spirit, his grace to be spread, to be reflected in his body around the world. Would you pray with me now? Lord, we do thank you for this table around which brothers and sisters around the world are gathering today, receiving your grace, remembering that you died for each and every one of us, for all of us, for all humanity. As we come to the table, Lord, strengthen us for your good purpose. Forgive us, Lord, for our sin, for our participation in the brokenness of our world. And God, raise us up to this new life together that you call us to live, that your spirit might be manifested. It might be made known to our world, that your loving spirit might be evident, God, in places like Puerto Rico and Mexico and Yemen and Myanmar, in places like the Twin Cities and Chicago and L.A., in places, God, like North and South Korea, in China, in Russia, in the Ukraine. God, for your people and for all that you love in every country, all around the world, grant your grace. And as you strengthen us this morning, help us to be a part of your grace making its way, being known by all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.